What's good, everybody, and welcome to Body Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and with me, as always, Brooke Greider Dave.
How we doing, everybody?
All right, I'm feeling a little amped. I'm fresh off of the movie. It's a versus episode today, in case you didn't realize what you clicked on.
Going head to head today.
You squeezed out the last victory with our space alien versus. I think you only squeaked it out by like a point.
Yeah, it was close.
But today we're actually kind of in your wheelhouse because we're just doing straight up slashers, and I know that you are a fan of straight up slashers.
Yes.
So you gifted me with Your Next, and you with Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
Yep.
Now, did you see any of these before watching them?
No.
You like taking gambles on stuff you haven't seen.
Yeah, outside of that Horizon, that's just kind of been my...
You've been kind of rolling the dice on them?
Yeah, movie we're going to review later. It's just been movies I haven't seen. See how it works out, yeah.
That's funny. I wouldn't mind, like, maybe next season we do versus, but strictly movies we've never seen. Now, we'll just go ahead and dive into it. Now, if you don't mind, since I'm fresh off of this, I can go ahead and get us kicked off if you would like.
All right, go ahead.
So you gave me Your Next. I wasn't sure how long ago this movie was. I definitely remember hearing about it.
It came out 2011.
Yeah.
So we're just, 13 years.
I didn't know it was that far back. I thought it was more like 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
So I have mixed feelings with this movie. I'll just say straight off the bat. But I'll tell you as I go through it.
Okay.
So for those of you who don't want a spoiler, this is your chance now. If you want to watch it yourself.
Yeah, probably should have listened to that episode.
Yeah, but if you want to know generally what it's about, it's the classic setup of a family getting together, and it's kind of out in the middle of the woods, I guess, but it's an estate, I guess. It's
Violent Night?
Yes, that's kind of like it, but not as rich, I'd say.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Take that place, but put it in the spot of where 30 Miles from Nowhere took place.
Yeah.
And it's your typical family gets together, and then a crazed killer starts picking them off one by one. What's going on? What's happening?
Yeah.
That's your basic bare bones setup. But I'm about to go do a deep dive into it now. Now, I will say this, despite what my reviews is going to be at the end of this.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to thank you for introducing me to my new wife by the name of Sharni Vinson.
Right.
I just want to say that. Thank you. Thank you for introducing me to my new wife.
Yeah.
I think this might be the first thing I've ever seen her in.
Yeah, I looked at her filmography. I was like, yeah, I haven't seen anything else. She's on Survivor.
Which makes sense because, well, she definitely has the physique of somebody who would be on Survivor because I went and saw, she's Australian.
Yeah.
And she, what she kind of reminds me of? Well, with this hair, she kind of makes me think of an Australian Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Yeah. See, I kind of thought she looked like the girl from The House of the Devil.
I get what you mean. They both have similar kind of features. It's a very specific and cute look that I'm really, really into.
Yeah. I think it's just, and like similar hairstyles.
Yeah, longer hair, bangs. Yeah. The bangs also do it. So.
Yeah, you can tell both those movies came out in that same time period.
Okay. All right. That side's distraction, but I'll say for that alone, I will give an extra point for, I was like, okay, hello, who are you? All right. So, movie starts off, the first characters we see are already having sex.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they're not going to be long for this world. It's a slasher movie.
Yep.
So, I'm like, okay, two teenagers having sex, and then the guy rolls over. I'm like, oh, that is not a teenager.
Yeah.
They get off by a man wearing it's a bar, it's animal masks are the name of the game in this one. Every slasher has a gimmick. Sheep mask. I thought one of them was like a wolf mask. But it's a animal mask, essentially.
Yeah.
Guy gets out of the shower after doing some fast pumping and then sees his girl dead in bed with Your Next written in blood.
Yeah.
And he gets offed. Now, when I first saw that, it's very funny because in my mind, I already had like a story about these two in my mind that I created. I was like, this seems kind of like a student and her teacher kind of thing. And in the very next scene we hear, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
That was just to get a setup to let everybody know this is a slasher. The real story, a family is all getting together. It's a mother and father, a mother played by Barbara Crampton and father. They're Paul and, do you remember the mother's name? Father's name is Paul.
Aubrey?
Aubrey.
Yeah.
Paul and Aubrey, and they're inviting their, I don't know if it was for a specific reason, but it's a big family get together. All the sons and the daughters with their significant others come on in. So we get introduced to, here are the siblings. Blake, Crispin, and their youngest, Felix, and the daughter,
Amy.
And they all brought with their significant others, respectively. Felix is with his girl, Z. Amy is with Tariq. Crispin is with Aaron, the Australian goddess that I was saying earlier.
Yeah.
And Drake is with his wife, Kelly.
Kelly, yeah.
Okay, those are all the characters you need to know. I think I spouted out all the characters. Now, we spend the first 20 minutes everybody kind of showing up.
Yeah.
They're all flooding in and everybody's, you know, just kind of coming in.
It's your family get together, basically.
And at this point, I was dreading it because at this point, everybody's kind of, or Drake is an asshole.
Yeah.
This is going to, at first, I was starting to watch this. I was like, oh my God, did Dave give me another 30 miles from nowhere scenario here? Like, is it just going to be a group of people who are just like unlikable? Now, having said that, I will say this. This is kind of going to be a spoiler for probably what my score is going to be. This is what 30 Miles of Nowhere should have been. I will say this. You get introduced to, like, in 20 minutes, a bunch of assholes, but it all becomes worth it in the second half. I will say that.
Yeah.
I will chalk that up to that's the point of why certain characters are unlikable. So
basically, dinner starts, and then they're all arguing, whatever. And then I think it's Tariq gets up and goes to the window where he's shot in the head with an arrow.
Right in the middle of a big family argument, because you can definitely tell that brothers Drake and Crispin have always, like, hated each other growing up.
Yeah.
And they're in the middle of an argument. I also put in my notes as a side note, this movie's rated R for, and it has sex and nudity in it. I mean, we get sex in the first thing, and then we see Kelly topless later. And I put, side note, in my lifetime, I've seen myself go from a teenager who would gladly rewind a DVD to get a glimpse of a naked woman to a guy that's like, man, kudos to that woman. I could never show my own male titties in front of a camera.
Right.
I was like, and I could be as fit as Ryan Gosling, but I ain't, but the second you take, you start rolling that camera with my shirt off, it gets weird.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was pretty funny. To me, it was a moment of self-reflection.
Yeah.
So, Tariq was his name?
Yeah.
Tariq gets shot in the head, and now the family is in full lockdown mode. Everybody get away from the windows. At this point, Drake gets shot in the back, because apparently these killers, these home intruders, like using crossbows and not guns for some reason.
Yeah, they're just sitting outside the window just firing in arrows.
Firing crossbows. And I'm like, you know, I like a good crossbow.
Yeah.
I love a good crossbow, but I wouldn't take it, you know, if I'm planning on killing people. Like,
I don't know, because as remote as this area is, it isn't that remote. It's on a street with other houses, so.
Yeah, but you could also have silencers. You don't have
to make too much noise. Realistically, silencers don't do all that much.
Yeah, but if we're going to be in movie land, let it, you know, use silencers. I've already suspended. I know that silencers does not make it sound like I understand that, but we're in movie land. I can let it go if they used it. But hey, if they want to be more realistic, that's cool too.
Yeah.
Okay, so immediately you start kind of thinking, all right, because everybody's panicking, and the only person who's not panicking is Aaron. Well, she's alert, but she's not panicking.
She's reacting to everything.
She's saying stuff like, "Everybody, everybody, close all the windows. Get away from the windows. Everybody, start trying to use your phone. If not, and she starts putting out stuff like, saying stuff like, okay, no, don't go over to this section of the house, because more than likely they're probably over here doing this. And you're like, damn, how does she know this?
Yeah.
Because all we know from Aaron right now is that she used to be Crispin's student, but then became his teacher's assistant.
Yeah.
And they're in a relationship together.
Yeah.
That's all you know. So you're kind of getting like, okay, what's this girl's deal? How does she know? Okay, she's pretty cool. What does she have? Like, I used to be married to John Wick.
Right.
So now 30 minutes, we are pretty much with our cannon fodder of the evening.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of place your bets. Who do you think is going to live and who do you think is going to die? One of the people who dies first is other than Tariq, old poor Amy. And everybody's trying to think of a plan. How am I going to book it out of here to go get help? Amy is one of the first to go, okay, I'm going to make a run for it. I'm fast. And Crispin's like, no, I'll do it. And she's like, no. So Amy's going to do it. They're about to like open the door. She's going to get a running head start and they're going to open the door. She's going to sprint. And it is my favorite part of the movie. She goes and has her heroic run in slow motion and then immediately gets near decapitated by some garrot wire that was hung up.
Yeah.
I thought that she was going to get shot with a crossbow. I thought, okay, this is a perfect setup for a funny them shooter with a crossbow before she even gets outside.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they did this instead.
Yeah.
Oh, she gets it in the neck.
Oh, yeah.
And down she goes. She didn't get decapitated, but she might as well have. She bleeds out. Yeah. Barbara Crampton, mom, is freaking out, and she's despondent.
Yeah.
And they take her upstairs to, I don't know, rest, I guess. But
yeah, just put her on her bed, get her out of the way.
But whoever the moron was who decided, let's not watch mom.
Yeah.
So, of course she dies.
Yeah.
Guy's hiding right under the bed and comes out and axes off Barbara Crampton. So now we have Tariq dead, Amy dead, Barbara Crampton mom dead.
Yeah.
Oh, and of course the two people from earlier.
Yeah.
Kelly. Everybody's kind of on high alert. Kelly goes upstairs to check on mom, sees the what's-his-face.
Yeah.
Sees man mask guy, freaks out, runs downstairs. Everybody's like, Kelly, what the fuck? And at that point, she runs out the door, right?
Yeah.
She runs out the door. This movie would have gotten 10 more points if she accidentally garroted herself on the way out.
Oh, God.
But she remembered and ducked.
Yeah.
And ran off. Husband tries to chase after her, but he accidentally hits the arrow that's sticking out of his back because he's saying pull it out, but if anybody who knows anything, you don't pull out something that's in your body.
I think they were going to pull it out, and Aaron's like, no, leave that in.
Oh, if they did, I'm glad. And again, because Aaron is the only one making sense this entire time, and you're like, you know who she is? She is the Ripley of this group, because you see her, and you're like, all right, I'm following this woman. She obviously knows what she's talking about. And if I follow her, she'll probably get us out alive.
Yeah.
So Kelly goes off and she goes and runs down to the nearest neighbor's house, which is the people from the beginning.
Yeah, she finds them dead. And then she takes an axe to the forehead.
Yeah, she gets chased by one of the guys. He didn't make it easy on her, too. He roughs her up first.
Yeah.
He beats her up, slams her through some windows, and then just axes her in the head. Now, at this point, I was kind of wondering... I'm glad that they put that scene in, because at first I was wondering, okay.
What was the point of the first scene?
Yeah, what was the point of the first scene? Because we also learned around the same time back at the house that the father is starting to realize this house has been staked out.
Yeah.
Finds evidence that there's, like, this place, we're being targeted. So when I hear that, I'm like, all right, so why the first? Oh, obviously they wanted to take out the neighbors. So they couldn't. Because I was even thinking that. I was like, oh, that makes sense. They didn't want them to be able to get help.
Yeah.
Dad is explaining, he's like, we're being targeted. And as he's explaining it to old Felix and his girlfriend, out comes guy from behind, slits his throat right in front of right in front of his son and daughter. Or not daughter, right in front of his son and his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And Felix is weirdly unfazed.
Yeah. And then it cuts downstairs to Aaron getting attacked by another intruder. And she stabs him and then beats him in the head with a meat tenderizer.
Tenderizes his ass.
Yeah.
And so we find out why Felix isn't reacting, because he hired these guys.
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was Z, because I was like, you know, Z's been acting kind of quiet this entire time. And I was like, surely. Oh, and at this point, Crispin has also run.
Crispin just took off.
He took off because he says he needs to go try to find help. He's going to try to go out, find help, or get a car and bring it back. So we know that Aaron took out one of them. Felix is in on it, as his girlfriend. We also find out that his girlfriend's a freak. She says stuff like, I want you to like bang me right here and next to your dead mother. And I'm like, yeah. Jesus. Oh, this is what I was going to ask you. If you like were going to plan on assassinating like the family and everything like that, why would you be there? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't it be even more suspicious if your plan was to kill your family and then you're the only, oh yeah, but the intruders left me alive.
Well, I think the plan was, you know, it's a family dinner, but I'm suspicious if they're not there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you could have always...
people wanting insurance.
Because I've had to cancel big family get-together sometimes.
Yeah. But them saying, like, oh, you know, like pulling, like, a Stu and Billy, like, getting cut.
Mm. I guess I'm sure, I guess out, at the end they would, I guess at the end they would have roughed themselves up or something. But, yeah. I don't know. Like, to me, that seemed a little more suspicious. Like, oh, yeah, and... for some reason, the killers didn't kill us. Yeah. They stopped at all of the family except me.
Well, I think the plan was, can't really say it now, but to get the cops there at the end and then push up the timeline. Like, yeah, all this happened and we just survived till you got
here. That would make sense because of the cell phone jammers, and then they would probably turn it off at a certain point.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. You know what? I think you just gave this an extra point because they're kind of covering their bases.
Yeah.
So Aaron's trying to get this place on lockdown. She's making booby traps and all sorts of stuff, and we get her backstory. So why is she so good?
Yeah.
She grew up on a survivalist compound, of course.
Yeah, which, she's literally told this to the enemy, too, because she's talking to Z about this, because he's like, how are you, like,
a
doing
badass.
All this? Yeah.
Because everybody's sitting here watching, and nobody's helping. And like, she's gotten attacked twice, and both times, like, Felix... And Z were there, but didn't help.
Didn't do anything. Just kind of watched. Yeah.
And Drake, the guy who had the arrow in his back, had blacked out. And he just started coming too.
Yeah, he's there with Felix. He's like, "Where's Kelly?" They're like, "Well, she ran away." And he's like, "I gotta go find her." And then Felix kills him.
Yeah, Felix. Oh well, no. Felix says that she's dead.
Yeah.
And then he, yeah, about to, oh yeah, and he's about to go run up, and then yeah, Felix. That's how, because Drake had started out as my most unlikable character. Because
yeah.
I was like, why is this guy being such an asshole for? But they managed to make this movie full of assholes, but made it that's why I said it's different than 30 Miles from Nowhere. Because
yeah.
I was just stuck with these assholes and I didn't like any of them. In this one, A, you gave us a badass. You gave us Aaron.
Yeah.
And then you also, I started turning around with Drake because he was an asshole, but once the stuff started happening and he started pumping himself with painkillers, he started becoming tolerable.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's now on, like, Vicodin, and so he's just kind of, like, out of it. So Aaron booby traps the house, which, I gotta say, I kept wanting to hate it more and more because of the beginning, but I love a good Home Alone sequence.
Then you got Felix with the intruder, like, Felix, like, the fuck are you doing? I just had to kill my own brother. And he's like, well... that one bitch killed my brother, and they're arguing.
I was like, oh, for a second, I was like, who do you talk about? Oh, yeah, Felix had to kill his brother.
Yeah.
He's, like, squeamish a little bit. But, like, he doesn't like the violence, but he's part of it. You can tell that this guy is a spineless douche nozzle, Felix.
Yeah.
I don't know what would possess anybody to badmouth your own hired guns the way he does.
Right.
Because he, like, gets up in their face, calls them stupid, and, like, doing all this. And, like, you know these guys have no reason not to kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the mansion right now. I mean, they could just kill you and then just ransack the house or something.
And he's like, I'll double what I was going to give you. Just get it done. And Aaron overhears the conversation and realizes...
oh, shit, it was Felix and Z.
Yeah. So they all start hunting him, and Felix bitches and whines until they give him a crossbow.
Yeah, and then Aaron pretty much picks off the last two dudes, like, pretty easily. The first guy, she... was the first guy the guy who stepped on the nails? Because one guy did get the whole nail to the foot. And she leads him into one spot and then basically just bashes his... oh, no, stabs him in the head and then bashes his brains in.
Yeah.
The other guy she distracts by, I think, leading him to the basement.
Right.
And distracts him with a bunch of... there was, like, a flashing light via camera that she set up.
Yeah, so the camera to do, like, auto flashes.
Distracts the guy and then beats that dude's brains in. So then all that's left is Felix and Z. She goes upstairs. She's like kind of looking at the wreckage, all the dead people around. Yeah. If it was me, I'd have been like, I am so going to get blamed for all this.
Right.
That's what I think in any slasher. Like, if I'm the last one alive, they're immediately going to think it was me.
Yeah.
Felix sees her through the windows, tries to shoot. Luckily, he sucks at shooting.
Yeah.
Misses, and they both go, her, him and Z go in and try to double team her and yeah. try to take her out. But she smashed something in what's his face's head, in Felix's head, and turns it on. It was like a coffee grinder or something. What was it?
It was a blunder. I thought she did that to Z.
No, she stabs her in the head.
So she smashes the blender into his head.
Blender and turns it on.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yes. And then she stabs Z in the head. I was like, oh, yeah. And so now Z's the last one sitting here standing, and all of a sudden
she grabs
Felix's phone.
And calls the person he was talking to, where you get the plot twist of the movie.
Which I was kind of thinking about in the beginning, because I was like, you know, Crispin is oddly, we haven't seen him in a while, and he oddly left pretty early on.
I called it as soon as he left. I was like, oh, he's going to have something to do with this.
Well, this movie is labeled as a murder mystery, or as a horror mystery. So as I was watching, I was like, all right, so there's definitely...
I did not know that.
I believe it's listed as a... Can you fact check me on that and just make sure that it is listed as a horror mystery? Oh, it's just a slasher film, it says. I don't know why. I could have sworn that it said... it says it's a horror mystery. If you just type it in on Google, it's the first thing it says, 2011 horror mystery.
Okay.
So as I was watching it, I was like, all right, there's a mystery element to this. So usually with things like this, I'm going to have to try to figure out, all right, which one of the family members set this up? Obviously, the most obvious choice would have been Drake, because he's such an asshole, but I'm like, no guy in his right mind is going to actually take an arrow to the back.
Yeah.
And then I was like, all right, Crispin is acting like the only one that is like likable at the beginning, which means he's probably the asshole. So Crispin turns out he was part of it, but it turns out he actually is a pussy, because he just didn't want to get his hands dirty.
Yeah, basically that's why he said, he's like, oh, well, I'm a pacifist, but I just wanted all the money. And then he tries to bribe Aaron, like, hey,
he goes,
like, I know you're a broke bitch. Like, let's split this money.
And I'm like, yeah, but you didn't plan on splitting the money with me. You were planning on having me killed, too. You know what I mean?
He had an excuse for that. He's like, no, 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 you're supposed to be alive. You're supposed to be a neutral witness.
I'd have been like, horseshit, because they shot at her, like, yeah, with the crossbow. And I'm sure all of that went out the window as soon as she killed one person.
Yeah.
But Aaron ain't having that.
Oh.
Stabs him right in the neck and once in the eye.
Yeah.
Which she should have let that drawn out. And then, oh man, then they gave us the Night of the Living Dead ending.
Yeah, cop shoots her.
Yeah, cop shows up, just sees her standing there with a bunch of dead bodies and shoots her. Doesn't shoot her in the head because he's a cop in a horror movie. Yeah. But shoots her in the shoulder or the grazed her arm.
Yeah, and then she tries to stop him from walking forward right into her trap.
Because she booby-trapped the door.
And the cop gets his head smashed.
And boom, title sequence.
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of a better way for that to end.
No.
Oh, man. Damn it, Dave, you are so fucking lucky. Because I was, like, the first 20, 25 minutes of watching this, I was like, damn, Dave gave me another 30 miles from nowhere. I can't stand any of these people. It's just going to be another, we're all together. And I'm telling you, when we first saw Aaron, I fell in love immediately. And yeah, I was like, God, I hope that she's going to survive. And then once the arrow started going and her face went stone, I was like, oh, she's secretly going to be a badass, isn't she?
Yeah.
And then she started, I was like, yes. I was like, hell yeah. So, kudos, yeah, Dave. You had a good job pick. So
I'd say Aaron's probably now in my top three of final girls.
Oh yeah, she's in my top now easily.
Yeah, she, like, I'm glad they didn't make a franchise out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But I could have watched another movie. Or yeah,
the second half definitely makes up for the first, because as I said, I was just, after 20 minutes, I was like, man, I don't like any of these guys, and we're going to be stuck in this house with all of them.
Yeah.
But then you have Drake, who kind of has an arc. Well, not really an arc, but he went from being this douche nozzle to, like, okay, he's just kind of loopy over there in the corner. Yeah. And he does say some side stuff when he's on Vicodin that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then you have Aaron the Badass. I would say that you have a twist with Crispin, but that you could see that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
And again, I like the fact that they have little Home Alone things. And yeah. The fact that she set up this whole trap thing, and then the guy ends up coming in from the back, and she's like, shit.
Right.
Like, I thought that was pretty funny. She yeah. set it all up, and then she hears him coming in from the back, and she's like, oh, damn it.
Right.
Oh, so I already said what my favorite kill was, and that was Amy running out the door.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just go into my ratings for it then. And in this case, I'm trying to think of last time, what were some of the ones that I gave you that I ended up giving you more points for?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think, I don't know what you're going to give Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. In this case, I will say, if I lost, I wouldn't mind because this movie kind of surprised me. Technicals, it was a 7.5, I'll say, for technicals. It was shot technically well.
Yeah, I would give it a 7 for me.
There was a couple of shots. They played with some reflections that I thought they played with them well. Lighting's good, although no, everything was pretty good. I'm fine with a 7.5.
Give it a 7. Now to story.
Story, I'm juggling between a 6.5 and 7 because the story itself is nothing that special. Because it is the story itself is a home invasion story.
Yeah.
They did have twists.
I would give it a 7.
I'm going to say 6.
6.5?
No, 6.75.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll give it 6.75 because it's done well, the story itself. But I will give that extra half point over to enjoyment because I gave enjoyment an 8.
Give enjoyment 8?
I felt like this was a better version of the trapped in a group in a house with a killer on the loose. Because literally that was the first thing that came to my mind when I was like, I don't think Dave said he saw this. Did he give me another bunch of assholes in the middle of nowhere and I have to be stuck with them for an hour and a half?
Yeah. I gave it 8.5. Like I said, I love slasher films.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is like going to be like in my yearly watch of slasher film.
Because
it's a fun slasher to watch.
For some reason, it balances a lot of stuff that I like in slashers. For some reason, Happy Death Day comes to mind.
Yeah.
In terms of like, but that's, I mean, that was a PG-13 one, but in terms of like, it kind of balanced a little bit of humor with a little bit of tenseness and a little bit, there were a couple of jump scares that I didn't care for, but I mean, that's nitpicky.
Yeah.
But I'm comfortable with an 8.
So
I'll say that you definitely lucked out with that pick since you just did a roll of the dice.
Right. So my score came out to 22.5. Yours came out to 22.25. So average score is 22.33, a score for Henry to beat.
Okay, so that's a fair thing, because as I was doing it, I said it was about a 20. So you and me kind of have about the same score.
Yeah, we both like the movie about the same.
Yeah, and this was me going in completely ready to just dump on it after the first 20 minutes. And as it continued, I was like, I got to give it credit for that. And then when it was like this, I was like, Aaron's a badass and she's fucking charming and I fucking love her. That's another point. And even now, much like I gave myself an extra point when we were doing Let the Right One In versus that, I had to give myself an extra point on this one because I was like, because I was going to go 7.5 on enjoyment, but I was like, wait a second, they did cover their bases. They did.
Yeah.
That is the reason why they killed the neighbors and why all of a sudden she can now get cell phone reception because they had the cell phone blockers. But I'm anxious to hear how these are two very different types of slashers.
Very different, yeah.
This one I actually had seen, and it is definitely brought up in a number of like taboo movies or taboo scene movies and some things. So I'm interested to hear your take.
Yeah, so Henry, the Portrait of a Serial Killer. Just quick summary. Henry is a psychopathic drifter who's murdering people, and we kind of just watch this movie through his POV, basically.
Yeah.
So instead of having, like, you know, your main protagonist, we're following the killer throughout.
Actually, the killer's the protagonist.
Yeah.
Not a good guy, but the main character protagonist.
So Otis, Henry's run for prison, basically is letting Henry stay with him while he's in Chicago. Otis is kind of a slower fellow.
He's not playing with a full deck, as they say.
Yeah, he's gumping it. And then Otis's sister Becky comes and stays with him because she just got out of an abusive relationship or whatever. And she's trying to, you know, find her way in the city of Chicago where the story takes place.
So why not, you know, hang out with him and his friend Henry?
Yeah.
And I want to say this, you might have to fact check me, or I might fact check while you're doing it, but I think Otis was based off of Otis O'Toole, or one of the actual serial killers. I'll look it up as you keep going.
Yeah. So basically, we get a little bit more of Henry's backstory, which he constantly is kind of lying about. You know, the murder of his mother and how he ended up in prison. So you can see it's very inconsistent. Just kind of lying to go fit best with the situation of the person he's talking to. And, you know, talk about being abused and everything. Just kind of relating with Becky.
Yeah, they're starting to kind of form a little bit of a...
Yeah.
A little bit of a bond kind of thing.
And then, you know, Becky gets a job. And then Henry and Otis go out at night, pick up some prostitutes.
As one does in Boston.
Yeah.
Or Chicago for...
Chicago, yeah.
Chicago.
They do their business, and then they murder the prostitutes. And this is Henry's way of bringing Otis into the fold.
Otis is now his protege.
Yeah. And it's like this weird relationship, because Otis is on probation, and he's just a weird guy.
It's kind of like he has no situational awareness.
Yeah.
Like, Henry kills people, but he knows how to act around people. Otis, not so much.
Yeah. Like, Otis, you know, gets mad at the TV not working, so he destroys it. And Henry's like, come on, let's just go buy a new one.
Yeah, and while we're out.
Yeah. You know, they're talking with the guy haggling about prices. And the guy's like, what's the amount of money you guys are offering? You can't really get shit, but this
and this TV, like, they're, like, getting it from, like, some garage.
Yeah, basically a guy who's selling things that fell out of the back of the truck, basically.
Yeah.
Very shady. And Henry kills him. And they take... You know, a TV and a video recorder.
Which will come into play.
Yeah. This time, Henry stabs a guy with a soldering iron.
It is kind of hard to, like, do the synopsis of this movie because it generally is just following a serial killer on his errands.
Basically, yeah. So the prostitutes, they choked. This guy, he stabbed with a soldering iron. And, you know, a little bit later, there's a scene where Henry's explaining to Otis, like, everyone you kill, you want to do it a different way.
Yeah, he's giving them advice and telling them,
like, aren't looking for a serial killer. Yeah,
he is essentially his protege.
And then Otis, he's also selling drugs to teenagers. And one of the boys, he tries to, you know, sexually assault.
Yep.
Gets punched in the face. So Otis is all upset about that. He's like, I want to kill the kid. And Henry's like, you can't kill someone you've been seen with. You
like Otis, yeah. Otis just... Like, Henry is at least methodical. Like, Otis just wants to kill haphazardly.
Otis, since Henry's Roman, he got a taste for killing. He just wants to kill all the time.
Pretty much.
So Henry's like, come on, we'll find someone to kill. They set up this trap of the car having trouble. Random Good Samaritan stops help him, and they kill him.
Yeah, this movie does not make people want to be Good Samaritans.
No.
If you're a good person, that's rough.
Yeah.
That's how cold Chicago is. They just straight up shoot the dude under an underpass, and then, like, just like 10 seconds later, like, just cars are just driving by.
Yeah, so after that, Henry's talking about, like, hey, soon we're gonna have to leave Chicago.
Can't stay in one spot.
Keep moving. Honestly, whatever. It'll be all right.
Oh, meanwhile, the sister doesn't know any of this, by the way.
No. She's just working her job at the salon, trying to do best for her kid that's living in a small town somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, make life so she can bring her kid out to Chicago.
and all of the stuff, she's a good person.
Yeah. So, shortly after this, Becky, she quits her job because she has to return home. Because now there's no one there for the kid, so she has to go back.
Aw, shucks.
Yeah. Henry's like, you know, they're talking about it. And Henry's like, yeah, I'll go back with you.
Yeah, at this point, they've, like, talked throughout the movie, and you can tell that she doesn't know that side of him, and I think at this point, the point of the movie is that you're sitting here as the audience trying to go, maybe she's the one that changes him.
Yeah. They go have dinner, come back, and then Henry's like, I'm gonna go to the store, grab a pack of smokes. He leaves. When he comes back, he finds Otis there trying to rape his sister.
Yeah, he just out of nowhere, like, just Otis is just on top of her, and that's...
Yeah. And so Henry and Otis start, you know, tussling, and when Otis is getting ready to kill Henry, Becky actually kills Otis.
Like, I find it ironic. She probably didn't want Henry to get his hands dirty.
Yeah. And Henry's like, all right, we could handle this. Yeah. He starts dismembering Otis's body. Yeah,
put him in the tub.
Yeah, in the tub. Straight psychopathic serial killer stuff.
But, I mean, sensible. I mean, he went right into it. Like, it's muscle memory. He's like, all right, get him in the tub. We got a little bit of time to get this done.
Henry suggests that instead of, they pick up her kid instead of living in a small town, go to his sister's ranch in San Bernardino, which probably doesn't even exist or whatever. But they end up dumping Otis's body parts in the lake as they're leaving the city. Get a motel room. Becky tells him, Henry, that she loves him. He's like, yeah, I guess I love you too.
Yeah, I guess.
Next morning, we see Henry checking out of the hotel with a bloodstained suitcase, which you assume
is her.
Has her body in it, yeah. And that's the end.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you get for falling in love with a serial killer.
Yeah.
I thought this was, also considering that you never saw your next until the other day, that this was a pretty good versus, and just because they're two very different kinds of slashers.
Yes.
This one is filmed very much like a snuff film, which there's a scene in which that camcorder is put to use. That's the scene, by the way, that I was telling you about.
Like, while Becky's not, like, she's at home, Otis is watching film of one of their murders.
Where they basically sexually assaulted a wife, killed the father, and I think killed the son that came in.
Yeah.
And he's like, they're like watching it on the TV like he would just a regular movie. And then Otis is like, rewind it. I want to see it again.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's an uncomfortable scene. Because it actually looks like a snuff film the way it's shot. Yeah. Did you have was there a specific kill that you thought, oh, that was pretty neat?
I mean, probably the kill with the soldering iron, because he knew it was coming, you just didn't know how.
Right.
And then he just starts stabbing with the soldering iron. I was like, okay.
Now, I can already tell by your voice the lack of enthusiasm for this movie, but I'm anxious still to hear your breakdown of it.
I mean, it's hard to grade.
I can understand that you find it hard to grade.
Yes, it's a very much before its time film. And I don't really think there's been
a lot of movies like it.
A lot of movies that have focused on like the killer's POV since then.
The only one I can think of is Maniac.
Yeah, and then there's one coming out this year.
I was going to say Leslie Vernon. I mean, we follow Leslie Vernon, but you're but you're kind of following the reporter.
Yeah.
But it is a kind of a movie in it on its own, because it is kind of strange. Like when you were explaining it, I was like, it is kind of hard to explain the synopsis, because it is just we follow a serial killer as he's serial killing.
Yeah, like
I'm trying to scroll right now through my Insta, because it was like 2 summers ago. I'm trying to see if I can find what I had rated it at the time.
I mean, it's starring Michael Rooker, who went on to have a pretty good career. I mean, when it comes to technicals, it's shot very gritty, but that's how it's supposed to be shot.
It's supposed to be
a very gritty and that's raw also, film. Yeah.
That's also why I recommended it, because I knew that you were a fan of like 80s slashers, 80s aesthetic kind of.
So I think I'm giving a 7.5 for the technicals.
I kind of went with like how you did, and I gave it a 7. That it's kind of like grading found footage, because it's hard, because in certain instances you want to tell yourself, all right, well, that's badly shot, but then at the back of your mind, it's like, well, was it intentional?
Yeah.
Or was it intentionally like poorly shot?
Yeah.
Or are they just using that as an excuse to like cover up mistakes?
Now on to the story. It's unique, but unique isn't always good, but it's not like a bad story either.
It's a character study.
Yeah. There's a lot of parts that make you feel uncomfortable, but it's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable.
That's another reason why I just wanted to kind of throw this in, just because it is a very specific kind of movie. I'll give you my score if you want to think for a second.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so I said technicals, I gave it about a 7, which is my usual average, kind of good.
Yeah.
I personally like a good character study. I gave it a 7.5 for the story, because I can't, like you said, I can't think, it might be 7.75 just because I can't think of another movie in which it's just, we're maybe actually, you know, it's kind of like American Psycho. We're just following this person through their daily lives, how they serial kill.
Yeah.
I think that's what I actually put in my review for it 2 years ago. I think I said it is like the gritty version of American Psycho.
Yeah.
Or it's like the Trailer Park version of American Psycho, in terms of like, if you have him, but put it in Chicago.
Yeah.
And enjoyment, I gave 8 just because it's, I don't know if it's slow, but it's slow. It's a slow story to tell.
Yeah.
Because it's, in my case, I happen to like it. I can understand if people don't like this movie or think it's bad, but I like it for what it is. So I gave it an 8, 7.5, and a 7.
I think story, I'm going to go 6.5. It's a unique story. It's not bad. It does make you feel uncomfortable and supposed to. And then enjoyment, I'm going to give it a 7.
Oh, so you actually thought it was okay?
It's not going to be in like a yearly rotation, but...
No, it's like, it's been 2 years since I last saw it. Like, it might be one of those things that I turn on. It's like, you know, I haven't seen it in a long time. Let me see if I remember.
Yeah, and the more you watch it, you might find more things and enjoy it a little bit better.
I also threw this movie in just because it's a movie that I kind of wanted to talk about anyway.
Yeah.
When I was thinking of slashers, there were definitely other slashers that are better that I could have recommended, but I was like, Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer is something that could be talked about. All right, so what's the tally? I still believe you won, though.
It's very close, because my score came out 21 out of 30. Yours was 22.5 out of 30, which comes to a score of 21.75, and what your next was 22.33.
I think they're getting closer and closer.
It's very close, yeah.
But I can 100% admit that I did enjoy Your Next a little bit better.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, I gave them both 8s because I think they both deserve 8s in terms of my enjoyment for them.
Yeah.
But the more I was thinking about Your Next and how they covered a lot of their bases.
And plus, you know, the name of the game was slasher movies. If you want to watch just a straight slasher movie, I would recommend Your Next before recommending Henry. So
Your Next is made for a more mainstream audience.
Yeah.
If you like character studies and like me, I like sometimes slower movies, but this one is a character study movie in which you follow a serial killer as they do their business. Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. But like Dave said, if you want a more traditional slasher.
Yeah, Your Next is.
Oh, we got
our next category.
And I still have not deleted any of the ones that we've done, so we might re-spin a couple. But let's see.
All right.
Nope, can't do that one. We already did Holiday. Ooh. Reboot.
Reboot? Okay.
You know what? Oh, no, I'll hear yours first. I'll hear yours first, and then I'll adjust mine accordingly.
Really?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, I really don't want to do reboot.
There's some good ones. I can tell you one that I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
The 2013 Evil Dead.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of one I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah, because you like rolling the dice, don't you?
I'm rolling the dice here.
All right, I'm going to put that one off, and then let me think. Because I also don't want to bring up my phone either.
Oh, I am searching on my phone.
Oh, I'm not. I try to do all of these like off the top of my head if I can.
Well, I'm going with one I haven't seen. I'm just going to kind of search.
Oh, wait a second. Don't forget, we still gave ourselves re-rolls.
Let's do a re-roll.
All right. How many did we say we get?
Was it 2 per season?
2 per season. So you get 2 and I get 2? We both get 2 claims to, like, if we don't want to do one, then we like, I demand a re-spin.
No, like 2 total. So
okay, so this will be our first.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I couldn't think of any really good one that I wanted to do. Did we do post-apocalyptic?
I think we did.
I'm trying to remember what our post-apocalyptic versus was. I know we did. Because you went zombies, I went Quiet Place and 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah.
psychological horror.
Okay.
I'm gonna go
What
ahead
is?
and throw in one that we've been needing to talk about a while, and that's Jacob's Ladder.
Okay. That's gonna be your pick?
That's gonna be my pick, Jacob's Ladder. I
Okay.
haven't seen that movie in years, so I don't remember how good it is. I mean, I remember the general story, but let's see. I'm kind of rolling the dice on that one.
All right, so I've heard a lot of people say great things about this movie the past year. I'll go with Speak No Evil.
Can I change mine?
If you want to, yeah. I'll give you a change, yeah.
Because I don't know when's the just I just don't know when the next time we might have a chance to talk about this one.
All right.
I'm debating if I want to say I was going to say Get Out. But I'll you know what? I'll save it. Since you already had your set in stone, I'll stick with Jacob's Ladder. I'll save Get Out for a different day.
Okay.
So it'll be Jacob's Ladder versus Don't
Speak
Speak or Speak No Evil.
No Evil, yeah.
Speak No Evil.
Which is on Shudder. I was gonna actually watch it too.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let me see. I want to say that Jacob's Ladder came out in the 90s. Exactly 1990. Yep. So that'll be cool. We're going to get deep and psychological next time. I
Right.
have some catching up to do because if you win next one, then I'm just shit out of luck. We're just going to have two fun ones, I guess, at the
Yeah.
end. If you win the next one, I'm just going to get weird with it in the last two.
If I win the season based on luck, that's ridiculous.
But I didn't mind losing this
Yeah.
one because I genuinely liked it. So, but Jacob's
Yeah.
Ladder, and I've never seen Speak No Evil. So,
Neither have I, so.
okay, so excellent. Thanks again. Oh, that was a good match. These matches are getting
Yeah.
a lot better and a lot
They're
closer.
close, yeah. All
But Tim Robbins, I hope that you pull through for me next week or
right.
next
All right,
time.
everyone, thank you for listening.
So yeah.
Have a good week.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Body Bag Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a comment as to what you'd like to hear us review or any horror movie topics you'd like to hear us rant and rave about.
And while you're at it, you can find us on Twitter at BodyBagPod and on Instagram at BodyBagPodcast.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time.